The text from which we'll take our study this morning is found in the book of James, James chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. James chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Reading in the New King James Version, it reads, "If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." These two verses, like all verses of Scripture, must be studied and understood in the context in which they are found. These two verses of Scripture, of course, follow immediately upon the reading that we had earlier in James 1, in verse 22 and following, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only." In this passage, in James 1, verse 22 through 25, James presents a contrast between the doer of the word and one who's only a hearer of the word. Now, I want you to think about this. This section of text immediately follows our study of verse 26 and 27 this morning. So, in James 1, verse 26 and 27, James supplies us with the example of a life that is lived in active obedience to the Word of God. And he does this by posing two contrasting alternatives in two kinds of religion. The adjective religion in our text pertains to being pious or devoted to a proper expression of one's religious beliefs. The noun religion refers to the outward observance of worship. For example, attending worship services, praying, giving, singing, and so forth. James tells us that even among people who perform these outward observances, there are some who practice a deceptive and useless religion, and there are others who practice a pure and undefiled religion. Let's study these two kinds of religion this morning in the context in which we find them. First, the deceptive, useless religion. James 1 and verse 26. In this verse, James gives us an example of an individual who is not living in active obedience to the Word of God. In the immediate context, we might say that he's the one who is the hearer only of the word and not the doer of the word. So James gives us an example of an individual not living in active obedience to the word of God. Thus his religion is said to be deceptive and useless. Now let's read the verse carefully and define some of the words that we might glean the teaching of it. It begins by saying, if anyone among you, you might be reading from a version that omits the words "among you," English Standard Version and others. Many of the Greek texts do not have that phrase in it, "among you." And it's not necessary that it be understood if anyone thinks he is religious. So if anyone, any individual is the one under consideration, doesn't matter whether he's a man or woman, whether he's Jew or Gentile, it's an individual who is under consideration. As a matter of fact, his own indicates that it's an individual in regard to his own heart. And one's religion indicates that it's an individual under consideration. Just as this phrase in verse 27, "oneself," indicates that it's an individual under consideration. So if any individual, regardless of who you are, thinks he is religious. Thinks means supposes that he's religious, presumes that he's religious, believes that he's religious. So if anyone thinks he is religious, remember, religious means that he thinks that he is pious and devoted to his religious practice. Singing and giving and all that God requires in regard to one's religious practice. So if anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue is mentioned when his speech is under consideration. does not bridle his tongue. The bridle is mentioned when that which the bridle does is under consideration. Of course, we don't put a literal bridle on our tongue, but we restrain our tongue. That is, from time to time, our speech needs to be restrained. It needs to be controlled. So if anyone thinks, supposes, or believes that he's religious and does not control his speech, does not control his language, does not control his tongue, but deceives his own heart. So you have an individual here who thinks he's religious. He thinks he's very pious. He thinks he's very devout in carrying out his religious practices. But he doesn't control his speech. He doesn't watch his language. But he deceives his own heart. His own heart means he deceives his own self. Deceives means he leads himself astray. He cheats himself. He misleads himself. He has caused himself to believe that which is not true. That is, that he is a pious and devout worshiper of God. He believes that he's a devout and pious worshiper of God. He supposes that he's a devout and pious worshiper of God, but he doesn't control his speech. He doesn't control his language. He doesn't restrain his tongue. Thus, this one's religion is useless. Many versions use the word worthless. Some vain, empty, fruitless, aimless. This individual is building his house on the sand. He is chasing the wind. He is shooting at the stars. He's chasing his own shadow. He's doing that which is useless. He is engaging in religious practice, and he believes and supposes that he is very devout and pious, but he doesn't restrain his speech, doesn't control his tongue. His religiosity, you might say, is useless. It's worthless. It provides him with no spiritual benefit whatsoever. A Christian with an unbridled tongue may be someone who is foul and offensive in speech. Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. The word corrupt here means rotten, putrid, foul. It's unfit. We don't eat rotten fruit. We don't eat rotten or putrid vegetables. They're unfit for consumption. But yet some people, even Christians who will not restrain their tongue, control their language, will use corrupt words. That which is foul and putrid and rotten, unfit to be used. They will engage in filthy language, foolish talking and coarse jesting. Ephesians 5 and verse 4. Filthiness has reference to that which is crude and indecent and obscene and vulgar. Foolish talking is that type of speech that betrays the person engaged in it as foolish. It betrays him as a fool. Coarse jesting, of course, is indecent and vulgar joking, jesting. And a Christian ought to have a changed vocabulary. And the genuineness of one's Christianity can be discerned by his vocabulary. But a Christian who will not control his tongue, his religion is useless, it's worthless. A Christian who will not control his tongue might engage in foul and loathsome language. But he also may be seen as a gossip. 1 Timothy 5 and in verse 13. And besides, they learn to be idle. The they under consideration is younger widows who forsake their faith in Christ, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. So, a Christian with an unbridled tongue may be someone who is a gossip, a tattler, an idler, trifling talker, one who boils over with impertinent or irreverent talk. One might be a slanderer, referred to as one who blasphemes in the Scripture. Colossians 3 and verse 8, but now you yourselves are to put off all of these, anger and wrath and malice, blasphemy. Blasphemy is slander. It's using abusive speech and malicious talk about others to bring about their harm. Sometimes it's not only translated as blasphemy, but sometimes it's just translated as evil speaking. Ephesians 4 and in verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, clamor, anger, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, a slanderer in the Old Testament is referred to as a tell-bearer. A wise man said in Proverbs 11 and 13, a tell-bearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals matters. Doesn't go around telling everything he knows, especially things that have malicious intent. That might be false and malicious to bring about the harm and defamation of someone's good name or character. The wise man said in Proverbs 20 and verse 19, he who goes about as a tell-bearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with the lips. That's what a tell-bearer does. That's what a slanderer does. One who engages in slander flatters with the lips. Now, a slanderer might be one who slanders in secret, or he might be one who slanders openly. The one who slanders in secret is referred to in Romans 1 and verse 29 as a whisperer. But the slanderer who slanders openly and doesn't care who knows about it and who hears it is the backbiter. So when one lives his life in active obedience to the Word of God, he will bridle his tongue. He will restrain his speech and his language. To neglect controlling one's tongue while still considering oneself to be a religious person is self-deceiving. And it makes that person's religion useless or worthless, of no spiritual benefit to him at all. Now, this is just one example of someone not living in active obedience to the Word of God. It's just one example. Not controlling the tongue. What if you did not control your bodily appetites or bodily desires or cravings in regard to a number of things? Maybe your sexual appetite. If you did not do that, but yet you were still thought yourself to be pious and religious, would you not be of the same character as this individual? Of course you would. Just one example is given, but many more examples could be given. I hope you get the point. That if you're going to be a doer of the Word, then be a doer of all the Word. Live a life in active obedience to the Word of God. But if you're just a hearer only of the Word, and you don't make application of the Word in every avenue of your life, though you might believe, suppose, and think that you're very pious and devout in your religious practice, your religion, in the eyes of God, is useless and worthless and of no spiritual benefit for you. Consider with me now pure and undefiled religion. Pure and undefiled religion. In this verse, James gives us two examples of a life that is lived in active obedience to the Word of God. Let's read the verse carefully and define some words again. Pure and undefiled religion. Pure meaning clean. In the spiritual sense, clean from pollution and the guilt of sin. Thus one would be innocent. Undefiled, that which has nothing in it that defiles. That is, it's unpolluted, unstained, unsoiled, undefiled by sin in any way. So this one's religion is said to be pure and undefiled. This one's religion, this one's religious practice is pure and clean in the eyes of God. It's unsoiled, it's unstained. He is indeed devout and pious. So pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. Note this, before God, that is, in the eyes of God, in the sight of God, in the presence of God. So God sees this activity. This activity is presented before Him. It's your religion. So before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble. To visit, meaning to visit with help. To take care of, to look after, to provide for. To visit orphans and widows. Surely we don't need to define what orphans and widows are. They're simply those who are in need, especially in times of trouble in their life. Trouble means when a state of distress comes upon them, whether it be an oppressive state of physical, mental, or social or economic adversity. And in the first century, orphans and widows, these would most definitely find themselves in a state of distress because they're left alone. That's what makes them orphans, and that's what makes them widows. They have no one to see after them, no one to help them, no one to care for them, no one to look after them, no one to provide for them. So pure and undefiled religion before God, the one who believes that he is practicing pure and undefiled religion before God is the one who visits orphans and widows in their trouble, in their afflicted state, whatever state that might be, whether it be mental, social, or economic. But I want us to note some things about visiting orphans and widows in their trouble. Visiting orphans and widows in their trouble. These are mentioned only as an example. Only as an example of many who may at one time find themselves in a state of distress or trouble and in need of mercy and help. Only one example. Because pure and undefiled religion is not just helping orphans and widows. I hope we understand that. If you help orphans and widows, but you don't help the other who is in need, then you haven't practiced pure and undefiled religion. Again, this is just one example of pure and undefiled religion. For example, in Luke 10 and verse 29, now ask yourself, is this man who helps this man on the road to Jericho, is he practicing pure and undefiled religion? Luke 10 and verse 29. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Then Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side." Do you suppose those two individuals were practicing pure and undefiled religion? They were very religious people. They believed, they supposed, they were very devout and very pious. Verse 33, Luke 10. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him, bandaged his wounds, poured on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you." So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, "He who showed mercy to him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Do you suppose this Samaritan was practicing pure and undefiled religion? He saw a man in need. He saw a man who needed to be taken care of. And he did that. Do we not see what pure and undefiled religion is? It's more than just taking care of widows and orphans. In Matthew 25 and in verse 36, Jesus said to those on his right hand, I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you, note this, visited me. That is, took care of me, nursed me, saw to my needs. I was in prison and you, note this, came to me. Came to me and visit are synonyms in this passage. He was in prison and they came to him. What did they do when they came to him? They visited him. That is, they took care of his needs while he was in prison. I know they're synonyms because later on in Matthew 25 and in verse 43, to those on his left hand, Jesus said, I was a stranger and you did not take me in, naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me. You didn't take care of me. You didn't see to my needs. You didn't provide for me. You didn't help me. So who practiced pure and undefiled religion here? Those who were on the right hand at the judgment in Matthew 25, or those who were on the left hand? Of course, those who were on the right hand. They were the ones who practiced pure and undefiled religion. But it didn't say they visited orphans and widows, did it? But they still practiced pure and undefiled religion. They extended mercy to those who were in need of mercy. That's what they did. As Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. When you extend mercy to those who are in need, regardless of who they are, you practice pure and undefiled religion. In James 2 and verse 12, so speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So here in our text in James 1 and verse 27, James 1 and verse 27, he gives us two examples of the one who practices pure and undefiled religion. And the first example is to visit orphans and widows in their trouble. Again, it's only an example. A second example, and he could have given three or four or any number, but he gives another, to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Keep means to preserve, maintain. Unspotted meaning without blemish or without spot. Unblemished, free from moral defect, faultless, not marred in his character in any way. World has reference to the mass of mankind whose values, beliefs, and morals are in distinction and rebellion to God. So keep yourself unspotted from the world, unspotted from the ungodly mass of mankind. Don't become defiled by associating with them. Because Satan is their ruler. He is their prince. John 12 and verse 31. That is, Satan is the one who guides their life, who's chief over their life. If you're practicing pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father, your Father, you're going to have to act like a child of God. Obey your Father, not Satan, who is the ruler and prince of this world. If you make yourself a friend of the world, James says you simply become an enemy of God. James 4 and verse 4, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Enmity with God means you're hostile toward God. You're an enemy of God. Enmity, hostility, hatred. The little preposition with there could be translated toward God. So you exhibit hatred and hostility toward God when you become a friend of the world. As Christians, we have escaped the corruption that is in the world. 2 Peter 1 and verse 4, by which having been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. Corruption, the moral rot and decay that exists in the ungodly mass of mankind. We've escaped that. And we do not need to become entangled in it again. 2 Peter 2 and in verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, They are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Yes, we are simply not to love the world or the things in the world. 1 John 2 and in verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Note that. You either love the world or love the Father, one or the other. You love the world, you become friends with the world, you show your hostility toward God. Love God, He is your Father. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, it is not of the Father. It doesn't find its origin and source in God, but it finds its origin and source in this world. And the world is passing away. The world is passing away. It's going out of existence. It's perishing. Going to its ruin and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Two kinds of religion. Deceptive and useless religion. Pure and undefiled religion. What kind of religion do you have? Remember, a deceptive and useless religion belongs to an individual who believes, supposes, and thinks that he is truly pious and devout in his religious practice. And he goes about his religious practice, perhaps on a daily basis, but yet he does not control his tongue. Maybe he doesn't control some other aspects of his behavior. His religion is useless. It's worthless. Provides him with no spiritual benefit. But the one who engages in pure and undefiled religion does that which God says do. You might say he's a doer of the word and not a hearer only. So what kind of religion do you have? I don't know the answer to that question, but there are two who do know the answer, you and God. And we'll each give an account of our religion come the day of judgment, Romans 14 and verse 12. So then each of us shall give an account of himself, a reckoning of himself to God come the day of judgment. So what kind of religion do you have? If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, our desire is that you would become one through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of your sins. If you're a child of God and have sin in your life, if you're practicing a religion that is useless and worthless because you've deceived yourself into thinking that you're devout and pious when you're not, repent. Confess that sin to God, and we'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.